welcome Jules and Miranda to In Conversation With, ahead of their performance with Jam String Collective on the 5th of May at Toulouse-Lautrec. Jules and Miranda play viola and cello in the contemporary jazz string trio. So hello, Miranda and Jules, how are you?
Hi. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. I am slightly concerned about my interview techniques with two of you.
Well, happy to be a guinea pig for
yeah.
that.
Just as well. maybe it's kind of helpful that your other member isn't here, because that would have been a lot.
Chaos on Zoom meeting.
Yeah. So how are preparations going for your tour? Tell me all about it.
Well, it's interesting. I think we're feeling okay as a trio. Yeah, we've been rehearsing, but we had this idea to also have guests for different shows. So also outside of London, have like local musicians join. So I mean, it's all fine, but like it's interesting. So we played in, last time we played in Brick Lane Jazz Festival, we had Maddie Coombs join, and obviously we put them on tracks that are a bit more like loosely arranged, so that like ideas they can just come, but it means like we're not necessarily sure what's gonna happen, what comes out, but we've done it twice now, and they're all great musicians, so it's been fine, and it's kind of the point as well, like
yeah, it kind of keeps the each leg of the tour quite exciting, I guess, because yeah, it's exciting to hear our music and how it translates with the different musicians who we get to play with.
Yeah, and fresh for you guys playing it too.
Yeah definitely,
like you always step up your listening.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's one of the beauties, isn't it, of improvisation, and it doesn't all have to be necessarily scripted out, so you can, so amazing stuff can come from that, can't it?
Yeah, it's also cool like when it doesn't necessarily go to plan as well. It actually happened on the recording.
I made a mistake, and I was I'm so sorry guys, and then we listened back to it like, hey, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, kept it in. Like,
remembering the mistakes you liked is the hard thing, I guess. Yeah, good things can come out of unpredictable playing or behaviour.
Yeah, so you've done two dates already.
Yeah.
The next one is coming up. And the next one is your official album launch. EP launch, sorry.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah, 5th of May, Toulouse-Lautrec. Really excited. I guess we haven't actually announced this yet, but we, I think I'm going there now. we will be joined by Maddie again on sax. And as well as Zoe Pascal on drums, who was on the EP. He played drums on the EP. So he'll be joining for that track and some more. But like both kind of people we know from Tomorrow's Warriors and awesome musicians.
Mm-hmm. And will they be playing on all the tracks at Toulouse, or will you kind of invite them up at different times, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, we invite them up during the second set. So a few with drums, and then Maddie's going to join us for the last two.
Mm, nice. And so the debut single so far that's come out is called It Still Moves.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed listening to that this morning. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And will you be releasing another single before the EP comes out, or have you just got one?
We just thought that about single. Yeah, it's hard to know like what was the right thing to do. I think I don't feel like they were sort of single tracks from the EP. So I mean, I know it's like it's a thing to do, kind of keep up engagement, everything, but yeah, I don't know. They feel like kind of EP tracks, and it's like very much the five tracks sort of working together. But I mean, I think having said that, like after the EP comes out, we'll kind of push and talk about each of them individually. Yeah, and also, yeah, highlighting Zoe's track, and we did the last track on the EP, Monk Had a Dream, and that we did with Steve Williamson on saxophone. Like I think that would be good to kind of, yeah, we'll sort of talk about and highlight it after, but they won't be like released singles.
Okay. And how did you decide which tracks to record for the EP and also which one to release as a single?
We recorded last December, and we did quite a few gigs over like in the autumn time, about as much playing as we could live. And I think we were sort of thinking which ones felt best, which ones were enjoyed by people, getting good response. I think that's basically it, Miranda, isn't it? Like,
yeah, and sorry, what were you gonna say?
Yeah.
There's also kind of like kind of a story, well, like a storyline with how the tracks all go together. Well, Jules, it was your concept, really, wasn't it? With
it was like, well, it kind of realized it after we had the tracks, and I think it was like in coming up with the list of the order, because the only one I was going to mention was we've done a version of John Coltrane's India, and that was like because we wrote that specifically for the recording because it needed like a kind of ballad or like a slower, more still track. So that's kind of like that, serving that. And then as I was putting the track list together, the kind of the order that came up with kind of it goes a little bit like through Journey of a Day. So it starts with the hum of 4 a.m. which is Miranda's composition, and then we go to India, which is like kind of for me like evokes like early afternoon, like post lunch lull, like quite still, reflective. Then we're in Golden Scenes, which was like written and imagined about dusk, like golden hour. And that like kind of ramps up, and that goes into It Still Moves, right? Yeah. Which is like late night kind of, always imagine like sort of after party kind of vibe. And then finishing on Monk Had a Dream, which is like
lucid
dream, surreal, strange, like beyond like after party, and then like winds back up at hum of 4 a.m. so kind of like cyclical, bit of a like intense day, maybe not like an everyday.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, not much sleep either.
No sleep.
Yeah. And how did your trio come about?
So me and Miranda met on a job, in just a freelance job. It was actually quite a strange one, but that's like another story. And I think at the time, Miranda, you'd met Gary from Tomorrow's Rose, and you were doing a string session with
him.
Yeah,
that's right. And Gary, so this was it, what, about 9 years ago or something?
No.
It was not that long. Okay, it was
I mean, to be fair, I always say like five, but
It's definitely more than five.
yeah.
Gary at Gary was that was when Gary was wanting to build up like their base of string players to come in, and that's when he was starting to form the idea of the string section to play with different Tomorrow's Warriors groups. I asked Jules if she wanted to come in, so I knew that she played in other groups and used improvisation within those groups. So Jules and I started playing together, and then it was about a year and a half ago. So we played together in different groups within like those years, and then a year and a half ago we started playing with Annalise and started writing music specifically for the trio.
Yeah, and I met Annalise on a Tomorrow's Warriors workshop with Bennett McLean, jazz violinist. I met there and kept in touch with her. We were playing as like a trio called String Ting, which is like Gary's name, and that is the name of the like collective now. But I think yeah, as we would like, we started doing more of our own compositions and arrangements, it felt right to like they're separate things. It's like we've got the trio doing our thing, and Tomorrow's Warriors have String Ting, which sometimes is a quartet or trio, but other times, yeah, it goes full on string section. So it's like evolved into different things. And we had our first Jam String Collective gig like just basically a year ago. But yeah, we've been playing together for more than that.
And do you want to explain the name rather than me go, ooh.
Oh right, yeah. It's just basically Jam, Jules, Annalise, Miranda, String Collectives. The collective part actually as well important because like we're much about like a string trio, but we do. As kind of tape like sort of taste of tracks on the EP, we imagine like we'll collaborate a lot with like rhythm section, drums or full rhythm section or other like frontline instrumentalists, because I think like much as I love jazz strings, and I think you can get away with it with strings maybe more than other instruments. I'm not like massively keen on like single instrument groups, but I'm in one. But I think strings are probably like there's a bit more like, oh maybe I'm biased, but like a bit more of a spectrum of the tones like you can achieve. But yeah, so as well as that, like definitely want to collaborate with other musicians, hopefully like yeah with drums and so on.
And how would you describe the collective's kind of musical sound or style?
Well, we try and lean on our different kind of contemporary techniques that we can do with our bows and different like extended techniques. So I think we do have quite a contemporary sound. I think that's the first word that springs to mind, although that's just one adjective. What would you say, Jules?
Yeah, I think it definitely sort of like moved between contemporary string writing and jazz. I think like the contemporary string sound is like maybe kind of people might hear like film music. But then like there's definitely like try and do like grooves and blues stuff as well. And then I guess like compared with maybe other jazz string quartets, it's like we definitely like we go for like the group improvisation a lot. I was why we sort of decided to stick as a trio to keep that like the ability
Interact, like it's easier
interact.
to interact and feed off each other easier.
And does one of you take the composing lead or the arranging lead, or do you all kind of do bits and bobs? How does that work?
Yeah, we've just sort of been doing it as it comes the moment. So I think maybe we've had a few more, but not like sat out and planned that. Just whoever's got something to bring in and try it out.
We kind of just go by, if someone's got an idea. But sometimes, like with how Jules said, when with the indie arrangement, sometimes we'll think, oh, we could do with having something along the lines of this within our set to give it a better kind of trajectory. It's mostly just bringing in ideas and sit and like kind of seeing what works when we try and play it together.
I think that's true, like really wanting the set to flow well, strong narrative throughout the whole thing.
And do you have the luxury of time to rehearse? Do you guys meet up quite often and just have a jam? Oh, I love that. Jam has a jam.
That was actually meant to also reflect our sound, like, because when we started playing about a year ago, we did really want to zone in, like I said, in the group interaction, group improvisation. So yeah, that was like, oh yeah, jam fits that as well.
Yeah, it was a big element of it.
And do you have the time to meet up and do kind of try things out outside of like a sound check or a gig environment?
We kind of go through phases, really. If one of us has a busy period at work, with our other jobs or other commitments, then obviously not as much. But we've had like maybe I'd say like three chunks of time within getting together where we've had like a good run of rehearsals. And when we kind of see ahead of time that we're going to have a good block of time, then that's when we try and play a lot together and try out new ideas. So I feel like you need a few sessions together to really gel with a new idea. If you try and rush things, then obviously it's harder to really bring out the creativity of a new piece within a group.
But also I feel like we've like some of the pieces, like especially stuff that for the EP that we practice a lot, like it's really good now like not to practice them, because I think otherwise they just lose like all sense of spontaneity. So I like being at that stage. Like we do know them well, but
don't over
but we have gone through phases as well where we did like we're doing weekly or twice a week rehearsals, like quite a lot. When I first met Miranda, like we all meet, I suppose, because all of us also came from like the thing of coming from classical background, so we also had periods where we were like working and practicing on stuff together, and that was like meeting up weekly. But yeah, I think now probably at a stage in our life where it is like also seeing what's practical around other work.
And I'm curious to find out how your roles kind of sit within the ensemble instrument wise. Is the cello always on the bottom part and the violin always on the top, or how does that move and the energy within that? Because obviously I'm a wind player and I play baritone and tenor saxophone, so they tend to be down the bottom, and if the baritone goes up, people are like, oh, and so I'm curious about how that sits.
I do play a lot of walking bass lines. That is like a big part of my role within the group. But we do vary it sometimes. Like we have an arrangement of favourite things where I'm playing the melody and Jules and Annalisa accompanying me. And we have a solo section where we'll play a solo section together with our bows. I'd say like probably for the majority of the time, it's what you're expecting in terms of our roles. But Jules and Annalise, you the violin and the viola kind of have a lot of variety, but like variation between the two of you, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, like if well, yeah, look, the kind of default will be like, yeah, cello with the riff or like walking bass line, and then I'll be doing like comping, like chopping, percussive stuff and melody in the violin part. Or like we're in harmony. That's like, yeah, and it like obviously like for any writing, that's it's the easy option. Because yeah, once Miranda's taking a melody, it's like we have to think a little bit harder on how that's going to work. But like yeah, it's definitely yeah, it's good to check in on that, because it should be a variety. I think yeah, we just have to be aware of it and make sure it's not doing the same thing all the time.
So the single came out, it moves. It still moves, sorry, this week. And how well has it been received? What have you heard back from it?
Oh, I don't know, like a couple of playlists. I mean, when did it come out? Was it, wait,
2 days ago, was
oh, yeah,
it? 5 days ago.
yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know, really. Not just yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been received well, but I don't know. I think people have enjoyed it. It just feels really good to have something of ours out now, so that we can, because I think sometimes it's quite hard to explain our sound. Because I think even if we describe ourselves as contemporary jazz, I think people will always see string players as classical. So it's quite nice to have something out there to just be able to play.
So I was checking. I was listening to it, obviously, and then I was thinking, as this is like the first kind of event in a way of releasing things as your group, how did it feel kind of coming up with the artwork for the images, and then also the online presence? How did you manage that? What did you, because you kind of got this, I don't know how to describe it, a little bit of a blurry, it's not like bang in focus, is it? Some of it's quite blurry, the images. And is that, was that, how did you come up with that idea? Did you all agree on it, or was it just like someone said do that, or how does it work? Because when you're doing something new, I think either you can probably feel the pressure of it needs to be right, or you just think, oh, let's just see what happens. I'm curious to know how that, what happened with you guys.
Some of the stuff we yeah I get like we wanted to sort of yeah distinguish ourselves as being not yeah not a classical string trio, so string trio but like with a difference, so like how we could kind of convey that in photos. That was a sort of general like direction, and some of the particular stuff that you mentioned with the like light refraction
Ah, there you go. Thanks for the proper term.
right. Yeah, that happened. So we've got a friend that's been doing photography and filming from with us since we did like a live video last year, and a photo shoot with her, and it was all like analog, and it was all done like with yeah actual glass, rather than like anything like editing, and so we sort of partly just really liked it. We all just like that was the one she was experimenting with, and we all kind of really liked that particular photo, so we wanted to carry that on, carry that narrative on for this, for the EP. Yeah, Anything else? I think like there's a lot of like strong sort of colors and like colors from the light, and I guess that for me sort of I don't really discuss this, but for me, like for my compositions, I feel like that kind of marries up with what I'm feeling with the compositions, like trying to, yeah, I said film music before, but like trying to set a scene, and I think the colours kind of work with that.
Yeah. I was gonna say as well, for me, with the light refractions and the kind of I guess slightly like trippy nature of it, I feel like our sound doesn't necessarily sound very polished, like as in it's quite gritty at times. And with the whole aspect of what we've been discussing with it being having a jam aspect, to me the two things kind of yeah, marry up as well, to use your expression, Jules, like with how it's not quite a focus and it's not like a polished image. I think that kind of goes with our sound as well.
And then also with that, we want to also kind of keep like with the, I don't know if you've seen the EP cover, like we were trying to also draw that back to like jazz and like I don't know if it's like come off, but kind of like we showed her like loads of Blue Note albums, and like with the fonts and like the way it was laid out, and with the logos and things. So yeah, she had that as a reference point as well. So trying to like tie that in, like some sort of classic iconic jazz looks with like a string trio that's a bit different.
Right. It's interesting to hear how it came about. And how about how you like to portray yourselves on social media?
Yeah, I guess we've been, yeah, well, Jules does most of the social media, but yeah, we've been, yeah, trying to show more videos of our playing and our, yeah, maybe of our jam sessions as well, and the different interactions, different kind of performances we have.
Yeah, I guess trying to just like be just true reflection, like genuine. We got the Help Musician Fund, and part of that was like we get like, I don't know if you know, we get the business meetings, and I did the marketing one, and it was really cool. She sort of she her name was Jessie, can't remember her company, but it was a great session, and I think I really like, well, enjoyed it as well, because she was sort of saying, yeah, just don't worry too much about it, social media. Or yeah, I guess I was thinking like you need to post all the time and like just kind of, you know, I don't really enjoy it. So it was like just getting a bit anxious about that. And I mean, and her speciality was in like email marketing. So yeah, I'm trying to not like not care about it, but not like let it get to me. Like trying not let it affect my mental state, just because yeah, I just don't really like the whole thing. And yeah, I would hope, or yeah, kind of want to work towards like being more about email, sending out newsletters and things like that.
Yeah, which is obviously tricky because I guess most people, I don't know, like, yeah, I guess a lot of people do get their main source of information through Instagram.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So yeah, I guess it's a balance of posting and enjoying what you're posting, but then also being able to distance yourself from it when you're not on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also follow bands on Instagram and use it for that reason. So like, yeah,
Yeah, me too.
important.
So you've got I'm just, I could count up the dates. Do you know how many dates you've got on this tour?
It was 11 in total, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was going to ask you, I've got on the list at the end, Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. I'm well excited already.
Are you going?
No, but I want to. And I really wanted to go to Glastonbury with my uncle Chaz, but he passed away before we could do it. We always said he was the guy who introduced me to jazz originally. And we were always going to go to Glastonbury and we never did. So I feel very fond of it, even though I've never been.
Yeah.
So you're off there. How did that come about? What are you up to? What's the plan?
Because we play in other bands. So like a friend of mine that's, it's not jazz, but awesome band, Rooftop Assembly, which is a grime and country music outfit. He's the leader of that, sort of sorted it all out. And basically, I think like from that, like we each play in a few bands. So you can, it's like you get, we kind of take as many musicians in this, like out of this one band, like and other bands come from that band, if that makes sense. We're going, and we found out we are clashing with Elton John,
which is actually just so funny.
Just like getting really excited about seeing Elton John. Like, I think it's his last performance.
Yeah, it's gonna be a very emotional night for everyone except for us.
Yeah.
And what stage are you on?
It's called Toad Hall.
Yeah. So,
But I've never been to Glastonbury before. So, and I actually tried to get tickets earlier this year. So in a way, it's quite good that I was unsuccessful twice. Because otherwise, I'd have, obviously bought a ticket and then.
It was so hard this year.
I'm convinced that the people who go every year have a secret, because it's always the same people who go every year. And then every year I get quite impassioned and I'm like, tell me your secret. And they're like, there's no secret, but I just don't believe them.
So who sorted out all your tour dates then, if you didn't know you were going until recently? How did you get all the dates?
We just contacted venues that we thought that we would kind of suit well. I've sent lots of emails, and in some places, for example, in Liverpool, we spoke to artists or musicians that we knew in the area. So in Liverpool, we spoke to Nee Maxine, who is from Liverpool, and asked her for recommendations of places we should reach out to. So we did that with a few cities. And that's how we kind of got the variation of places we're going to.
Yeah, and Glastonbury, we only just recently found out just from the each of the stage organisers, and then there are a few dates with Tomorrow's Warriors kind of organised gigs as well.
Yeah,
they organise some of the London ones.
And do you all take a role in trying to get gigs, or is it mainly one of you?
It's the two of us really at the moment.
Yeah,
I hate that task.
Yeah, it's actually like we sort of started like last September. I don't know if that's, and then things were coming in until basically a couple of weeks ago. So like that's a long time. Well, like I think we did a bunch of emails last September, October, and then like the odd one here and there, and then still like hearing back just up to now. Actually, there was another one. Someone in Cambridge that's come up, but so it's like I don't know, half a year getting these dates almost.
Where in Cambridge?
So It was, we haven't actually confirmed anything yet, but it's Hot Numbers.
Oh, yeah.
With the, because I, Kevin Flanagan was my lecturer at my first uni, so kept in touch with him. I think he's running, he started the running the nights there again.
Let me know when, because I'm quite close to Cambridge.
All right, all right.
As you can see, I am in my little old cottage, so I'm in the countryside.
I was admiring your beams.
Yeah.
That really nice.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice to have you up in this neck of the woods. Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
Be good. Hot Numbers is nice. Who did I last see there? I can't think. I went to a gig there quite a long time ago, actually. It was really, really hot. And it was John Etheridge was playing. Actually, with who's the fiddle player? I think off the top of my head.
Oh, Chris Garrett?
Chris, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And somebody fainted. It was so hot down there.
Whoa.
Ooh,
Yeah.
hot numbers.
Yeah.
It was hot in Hot
That's
Numbers, yes.
nice.
Top tip, if you're playing this summer, wear loose clothing.
gosh.
Yeah. So once you finish this run of gigs, do you have a plan for an album or some writing sessions? What are you going to do next?
We haven't spoken about it too much. I think, well, I thought like this was, an album would be next, but I'm thinking maybe like just to be quicker, another EP, maybe like a whole thing with like another collaborating with another artist. But yeah, we haven't really spoken about this actually, but a feeling maybe an EP just for the kind of the speed and the money. Also, and then potentially an album.
It's a watch this space.
We'll have to have some writing time, I guess, after the tour. Hopefully, we'll have some new ideas.
I think we will. Like, we've got gigs up to September, I think. We've got a couple booked in September.
Oh, see you there, I guess.
But yeah, I imagine like a break as well, reflect on everything and go again.
Yeah, it's exciting times.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
really exciting. So we're coming towards the end of our late evening chat. This is the first for me. I have never done a podcast in the evening, and I've never had more than one guest. You are double guinea pigs. And I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcasts before, but I have two Hannah questions. Jules, you said you had listened to that. You're ready for these questions, aren't you?
Well, I did hear them before, but it wasn't long enough to prepare for them, so I
No.
yeah.
Okay. So the first question, I'll ask you the rest so you can think about it. The first question is, what's your desert island disc?
Oh, this is the one.
Freaking out.
So with this, like, is it hypothetical? It's not like,
What kind of question is that? You're not going on, no one's going to put you on an island.
You're not going on an island, but if you had to pick like one
that.
album that you were going to only listen to for, let's say, the rest of your life, that sounds so dramatic, but more dramatic than a desert island, what would you pick?
I started thinking like you probably want something upbeat because it was ever thinking the question like stuck in an island by yourself, like a bit sad. Miranda, up to you.
I don't know an album, but the first track that came to my head was My Favorite Things by John Coltrane. And one of the reasons is because it was the first track that made me interested in jazz. And I also think, because it's so long, that Well, I know you asked about an album, but I just can't give you that answer right now.
That's
But
fine.
but yeah, as a track, I feel like even within it, there's quite a few different moods, and there's yeah, I feel like I could work with that for a while, and I'm hoping it would keep me inspired for a while on the island.
I was going to go John Coltrane as well, actually. I was thinking, yes, again, actually, probably one of the first jazz albums I really got into, Love Supreme. Also, just, like every time I listen to it, I can kind of get something different from it. So, endless enjoyment, but also just get very meditative on on
What's yours?
Mine is the album My Song by Keith Jarrett,
Oh, nice.
because it has all different moods on it. And I don't listen to it that often, but whenever I do, I'm like, this is the album that I could live with for the rest of the time. Like, has everything in it.
I was also thinking of like Esperanza Spalding.
So was I. That was gonna be my second answer.
Right.
Well, one of us can take Esperanza and one of us can take John, and then we can switch them around.
Yeah.
But my other one was like was yeah not jazz but like the Beatles, because that's another, although like not sure what which album, but that they're just a band that I've throughout my whole life just come back to constantly and still enjoying it, yeah, as much as the first time.
And my second question.
Yeah.
What is your favorite time signature? Silence. God.
Yeah.
I quite like 6-8. I mean, I don't know if it's a basic answer, but
I love 6-8. It's the great answer.
okay. Also, I quite like teaching about 6-8 to kids. Because I feel like it really blows their mind when they first learn about it. Because obviously it's their first introduction to like compound time. Am I saying that right? Really freaked out. Yeah. But that's yeah. I don't know. I feel like yeah. I feel like I play differently in 6-8, and I feel like you can. Yeah. I don't know. I just like 6-8. That's it, really.
That feeling in 6-8 when you feel it in comp well like yeah you feel it in compound time, but also just the I'm saying like 4-4 as well, like in jazz you can like there's sort of which yeah obviously you don't necessarily get in 4-4, but in 6-8 you get. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the three within the one. Anyway.
Oh no. No, I get the same.
We played with a singer last year. We played quite a lot of 7-8, and I had to concentrate so much all the time to make my walking. Well, my bass line completely in time. Just because we don't often play in 7-8, so I really like 7-8, but I don't think I'm as free in 7-8 because I'm like I'm like concentrating so much. But one day maybe my answer will be 7-8.
Yep, good answers. I love 6-8, and 3-4.
Great, they're great time signatures.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining me. It's been lovely to have Miranda and Jules on the podcast. And unfortunately, Annalise couldn't be with us, but we're saying hello to her too. And I hope your gig at Toulouse-Lautrec on the 5th of May goes well for Women in Jazz Media.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a great audience there. It does get quite warm at Toulouse Lautrec as well. Have you played there before?
No, no.
Yeah, I've not played there before,
Yeah.
actually.
And get quite warm. Yeah. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been, yeah, really fun.
Thanks for listening to this podcast for Women in Jazz Media. We have a great back catalogue of podcasts with amazing women, including Tatiana Gorlovsky, Colette Cooper, and Esther Bennett. Please do check them out, and I'll see you at the next one. Bye.